will, open your Bibles, please, to the, well, not your Bibles, that's plural. Open your Bible. You probably only brought one Bible, to Matthew chapter number 25. And when you do that, if you would get your bulletin. And I want us to begin really tonight looking at that little introduction that I asked them to print in the bulletin, because I think it would be a pretty good place for us to begin. If you look at it, it's really not a very pleasant thing to think about, but look at it. None of us, I was just thinking during the week, none of us would probably want to know how much money in our lifetime we have wasted. Wouldn't that be depressing? Well, in fact, it would be very difficult, because there would be disagreement about whether the money was really wasted or it was spent on the right thing. Dottie and I would never agree on that. Never. Things that I would think maybe are wasted, she would say, this is an absolute necessity. And probably reverse also, you know, both ways. So, you know, we would, there's no way to know that, really. Now, in our mind, we can think about some things where we've wasted and squandered our money. But, you know, if we really knew, in fact, I would predict if all of us had all the money in our lifetime that we've wasted, we could retire the debt and just go to the cafe and have money left over to pay for the food tonight. Well, let me tell you, even a worse thing, and you see it in the bulletin, even worse would be to know how many opportunities in our lifetime that we have wasted. Now, you know, there's no way to know that. There's no way to know that. But let me tell you something even worse than that. Is the opportunities in our life concerning kingdom work that we have wasted, now listen carefully, that we do know about. I don't have a clue, really, how many opportunities in kingdom work in my life I've wasted, but here's what I do know. I know there are specific opportunities in my own life to either have done things or not to have done things in kingdom work, and I knew about them, and I squandered them. I squandered them. And when you think about that, in fact, that's a real deal. What I'm talking about tonight is a very real thing to me. Dr. Kendall calls it false guilt. And in a way, you know, I understand that, but the fact of the matter is, cannot you think of things in your life where you had an opportunity to do something for God in kingdom work? And I won't go illustrating all that, but you squandered it. And you begin to think about that, and I tell you, it can eat your lunch. Now, having said that, that leads us to the parable where we are tonight in Matthew chapter 25. Because in Matthew chapter 25, here's what we have. We have a parable. We're going to look at it in just a moment. That helps us at this very point. But the background of Matthew chapter 25 is Matthew chapter 24. So whatever you need to do to turn back to chapter 24, turn back. Matthew chapter 24, I want us to see what had taken place before Jesus spoke this parable that we're going to look tonight in Matthew chapter 25. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, let's just begin in verse 1. It says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as we read on in this chapter, time won't permit our doing so tonight, but as you read on in this chapter, what you have beginning with verse number 4 all the way through verse number 41, you have Jesus giving some signs of the end of the age. And if you look in verse 3, it's very interesting because the disciples are very interested in this. In verse 3, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the Bible says, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? In other words, they were all keyed up and excited about knowing how things were going to end and when the Messiah would come and set up his kingdom. Oh, man. And yet, after Jesus tells all this stuff, these signs of the end of the age, if you look in verse 42, it's very interesting what Jesus does. The disciples, they're big on the future, on end times. But Jesus focused on the present time. And in verse number 42, Jesus said, he said, you know, in essence, y'all are all keyed up and excited about how end times are going to be. But what I want you to understand is the importance of the present. And what he said in verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then in verse 44, went on to say, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Now, that gets us to chapter 25, and look with me down, beginning with verse 14. Jesus speaks this parable in Matthew 25, begin with verse 14, and what he tells them in this parable, he gives them some practical direction to help them be ready when the end time does come. You know, it's interesting. In our day, it's exactly the same. If you say we're going to have a night at the church and we're going to bring in some pastor or a preacher or evangelist or speaker that is huge in end times, he's big in end times, and we need to know about end times, but the crowd will be enormous. But if you were to announce we're going to have a service and we're going to bring in thus and so person, and they're going to be teaching from the Word of God how to live your life in the present, so whenever end times come, you will be ready, crowd will be much less. People are all, well, that's how the disciples were back in chapter 24, verse 3. They said, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Well, Jesus said that's not the important thing. The important thing is you be ready. That is, the important thing is not the future. The important thing is that you be doing what you need to be doing, living like you need to be living in the present, so when the future comes, you will be ready. Now, that gets us to our parable. So look with me in chapter 25, begin with verse number 14. We know it is the parable of the talents. Now, some of your translations might use the word money. Later in this translation, the word money appears. Actually, in Palestine, talent was not a coin. Talent was a weight, and its value was determined on whether it was a weight of gold or silver or copper. And whatever it was made of and whatever size it was, that would make the value. So the idea that for you and for me, whether it be, you know, weight, but it was worth something. So we'll think of it in terms of money. So here's the parable. It starts out in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now let's stop just a moment. A parable, the old Sunday school, pardon me, connection group, Pam's not listening, but I'm correcting myself up here. I slipped up and said Sunday school, but growing up, it was, you know, in Sunday school, our teachers taught us the definition of a parable would be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's how I grew up learning it that way. Now, you know, there are other great definitions of a parable. That's really what a parable is. Jesus, he would take just real life situations, things the people would be familiar, and he would tell a story, but that story would have heavenly lessons, would have spiritual lessons. And so when we read this for the kingdom of heaven, we know that this story, this parable, is going to be about the kingdom of heaven. It says it's like a man. And this man in this parable, and we need to understand that, represents the Lord Jesus. In other words, Jesus is telling a story to help them understand something. So this man, who's like the master over these servants, he's the Lord Jesus, traveling to a far country. This is that gap of time between the ascension and the return of the Lord. So there's a great parallel, and you see this as we just start into this verse. And he called his own servants. That would be the believers, so that'd be you and me if we want to make that comparison. And then it says, and delivered his goods to them. That word delivered, some of your translations may use the word entrusted. That's a better word. He entrusted them with the goods. In other words, the parallel would be that, you know, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, you, all of us, his followers, he has entrusted us. And notice what else it says. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now, I wish you'd take your bulletin and just simply jot in a little word or two. A very important thing we learn already in verse number 14, and as we begin in verse number 15. Every Christian, that includes all of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, every Christian is entrusted with some opportunity for kingdom work. All of us. We all have opportunities. We've had them all of our life since becoming a believer. And it's a very wonderful thing. Each had an opportunity in the parable. 2 of them were very faithful. 1, as we'll read in a moment, squandered his opportunity. This whole parable is about opportunity. About opportunity. And in each of our lives, what has happened? As you think back in your Christian life, we've all had opportunities to do things for God. Maybe within the church, maybe beyond the walls of the church. Every day we have opportunities to encourage people, to help people, to pray for people, to share with people, to invite people to church. I mean, the list is just endless. To listen to people, have compassion for what they're going through. All these things and many more, it's far more than just teaching a connection group class or singing in the choir or doing this and that. These are all things, but there are endless things. And here's the bottom line. Many believers are very faithful with the opportunities they're given, and other believers squander the opportunities they are given. And that's what we see in the parable. Now, let us read on, and if you'll take your bulletin, I wish you'd jot this down for number 2. God never gives us more opportunities than we have capacity to handle. That's very important. God never gives us more opportunities than we have capacity to handle. Now, in verse 15, this master who represents Jesus, he gave to one of these 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and then look at this phrase, to each according to his own ability. So God never gives any of his children more opportunities than they have capacity to handle. And that is a very encouraging thing. Now, a flip side of that is that every opportunity that comes along, even in kingdom work, is not necessarily from God. And you, the Sunday night group, we, the Sunday night group, need to hear that. You're very faithful people. Here you are in church on Sunday night. Others watching by streaming. And here I stand saying to you that every opportunity that comes along, even in kingdom work, is not necessarily from God. Now, I have a confession to make. And I think many of you could make the same confession. In my Christian life, even as a minister, there have been many opportunities in kingdom work to serve the Lord, to do things for God, that I said yes to, and I didn't pray about them as I should have, perhaps didn't pray about them at all sometimes. And they were good things, but we need to be on guard, because if we try to do every opportunity that comes our way, especially if we're like the man in the parable with the five talents, if we just say yes to everything, what we will do is we won't be able to be what God would have us to be. Now, I was doing a little math up here a moment ago. We've been here 27 years. We finished 27 years, which means 22 years before we came here, we were ministers and wife, minister and wife elsewhere. And during those 22 years, plus about the first year here, is when I learned that lesson. Now, if you're good at math in your head, like what I'm saying to you is, as a minister, it took me 23 years, almost maybe 24 years, to figure that out. But actually, I didn't figure it out. Dottie explained it to me. Sorry, I'm complimenting you. Now, you're always saying, this is a compliment. You know, before I came to First Baptist Church Pasadena, like, I just was preaching everywhere. I mean, I just had so many opportunities in Sunday school conferences, evangelism conferences, and all these things that I just was accepting all sort of stuff. And there were good things. I mean, they were all wonderful things, but I just didn't really see kind of what I was doing, actually. But when I came here, my very first year, I was very involved in denominational work. And my first year here, the BGCT, Baptist Union of Texas, was meeting in Houston the next year. And I'd been asked if I would be the vice president one year, and then when we moved that thing to Houston, which I already lived down here, I'd be. But be that as it may, in New Orleans at a Southern Baptist convention, Dottie knew where I was going with this story. I won't tell them exactly how you told me. But you told me like I needed to hear. And it all, you know, sometimes it just seems like things click. Have you ever, you know, had that kind of thing? Dottie explained to me that, you know, we had plenty to do here, and I needed to decide what God really wanted me to do, whether it was devote all of my time to this church and not be very involved in many of the other things I'd been involved. But the fact of the matter is, it's one of the best things she ever helped me understand. Now, can I tell them how you told me, actually? I mean, would it be okay? I don't know whether I should or not. Well, I hadn't practiced saying it, so I think I won't. But I can still remember. And I'm not going to tell it because I might tell it wrong. You and I will work on this and maybe work it in some other sermon. But she explained it to me, and God really used her to help me because about a year after I came here, I stopped all that other and just said, I feel like that what God's called me to do is pastor this church. We're involved in all this relocation and just devote all my time to that. Now, through these 27 years, I'm not saying I've never done anything outside of the church, but I am saying this. My problem is not doing things outside of the church. My problem is doing everything inside the church. You know, I just look at all these things that we have in the church, and I have to say to myself, these are all great opportunities. But the fact of the matter is, just because they're great opportunities does not necessarily mean this is something God has given for me to do. And we have to make choices, and we make our choices on what our priorities are. And I struggle with this, and I would think you are a Sunday night worshiper. You are serious about God. If you're really serious about God, you struggle with this same issue. You know, every opportunity that comes along, even in kingdom work, is not necessarily from God. And I'm thankful that Dottie helped me to see that and has encouraged me to pretty much stay on track with that. And I, even as recent as the past two or three weeks, have been trying to reorganize my own time and life schedule so that I can spend my time wisely and do what is productive that really matters in kingdom work instead of just saying yes to everything that comes along. Here's the bottom line. Some of you have the capacity for 5 talents. Some of you have the capacity for 2 talents. Some of you have the capacity for 1 talent. Here's what I know. God has given you the capacity to do what God has purposed for you to do. If you believe that, say amen. And sometimes what Satan will say to people, you know, I'm just kind of a 1-talent person. My little 1-talent wouldn't make any difference. That's a lie from the devil. If you are a 1-talent person, listen, you be faithful with your 1-talent. If you're a 2-talent person, be faithful. If you're a 5-talent person, be faithful. God has given you the capacity to do the kingdom work that He designed you to do. And so, some who are more talented than you or me, you know, God made them that way. I just want to be faithful with the talents God has given me. Now, third thing we need to understand, and then we'll read the parable as we do. When Jesus returns, He will require an accounting from each one of us. Now, let's pick back up in our parable. It says in verse number 16, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Now, there's risk involved. When you start trading, you may lose what you start with. It's kind of like in, you know, buying stock. You may wind up with less money than you had to start with. Well, this guy took the risk. It says in verse 17, "Likewise, who had received 2, he gained 2 also more. But he who had received 1 went, dug in the ground, and hid his Lord's money. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came." Now, this represents Jesus. And look what he did. He settled accounts with them. That day is coming. We don't think about that. We don't want to think about that. It's just, you know, I'm saved. When I die, I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm okay. Well, it's not quite that simple. There's more involved in that. Now, after a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. Verse 20, "So he who received 5 talents came and brought to 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Now, verse 24. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid.'" See, fear many times keeps us from taking the risk to proceed with the opportunity God's given us. He said, "I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown, gather where I've not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Now, verse 30, very interesting verse. "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, what are we saying? We're saying, when Jesus returns, that's the purpose of this parable. That's why the story was told. He's going to require an accounting. Now, you know, in this parable, you know, the servant here who had the 1 talent and dug a hole and put that 1 talent in the hole, you know, I think, this is what I think, that servant represents the scribes and the Pharisees. That's what I really believe. And I think that because the scribes and the Pharisees always wanted to keep things like they've always been. That was their big deal. They were legalists. And they wanted nothing to be changed. They lived by the letter of the law. And you say, well, what does this outer darkness mean? Well, elsewhere in Scripture, in fact, twice in Matthew, outer darkness refers to hell. But I don't think outer darkness here refers to hell. You see, I think what outer darkness refers to here is that this one person, the one talent guy, he had no praise, he was given no reward, and the worst of all, he lost his opportunity of service. Now, folks, hear me. If that's not outer darkness, I would hate to think that I was so unfaithful with the opportunities that God would give me that one day there'd be no more opportunities. But I've seen that. Oh, I've seen that happen so often, too often. People that once were faithful, God grant them wonderful opportunities, and somewhere, for some reason, they just quit being faithful with their opportunities. And after a while, there are no more opportunities. Now listen, I would think that I'm correct in that every one of us, I head the list, can think about opportunities that we've had to do things for God that we squandered. And I promise you this, the devil will help you remember them. He'll bring them back. And, you know, I struggle with this. And repeatedly, the right thing to do, and it's what I want to encourage you to do tonight, for the sincere people tonight that say, you know, I have had some opportunities to make a difference for God, and we could talk about endless ways that could be, but we'll not go down all that. We all have different ways, and sometimes we're not faithful, and we know we're not being faithful to what God's given us to do. And the next thing you know, that thing can just kind of get on your mind to such a degree that it can almost be paralyzing. Listen to me. Put it under the blood of Jesus. I mean, you know, we don't get a second chance on a lot of things. And I'm not going to, and it would serve no purpose, but Dottie would know, John would know, Joel would know. There are some areas in my life that I had opportunities and I squandered them. I just squandered them. I wasn't trying to be mean. I just squandered them. And life goes on. You look back on that, and you know, you say, "Boy, listen." There just comes a point where you just have to put that under the blood of Jesus. So tonight, two things. Number one, I want to encourage you. You know, we're all in this thing together. We all from time to time, if we tell the truth, have squandered some opportunities. Could I have an amen to that? Thank you for making me not feel like the only bad one in the room. Look, but here's what we can do about that. Here's what we can do about that. You just put it under the blood of Jesus. Now, as time goes on, I believe the closer we get to God, this is what I believe. I think the more we can see things with spiritual sight, and we'll think back and see other opportunities that we'd not even thought about. So, you know, I squandered that. I never had really thought about that. Okay, put that under the blood of Jesus. I know the last time we went to the Cove one day, and Dottie will remember, I wanted to go on a walk on that trail where the bears were that time. I prayed up. But I said, she said, I'll go with you. I said, no, I want to go by myself. I need to have time to be alone. That's one of the great things about going to the Cove. And I had one of the greatest times. I can still see the bench. I still remember the little prayer verse. It's by that bench. And it's one of those glorious times that some things that I look back on my life where I squandered this opportunity and I squandered the opportunity. And I've let those things just eat on me, and you know, I've kind of put them aside. But I tell you what I did. I put them under the blood of Jesus. And it was just the most wonderful feeling in the whole world. And I'm sure in time to come, the Holy Spirit will reveal to me other opportunities that I squander that opportunity that I've never even thought about yet. And I dare say he'll do. I think that's a healthy thing. I don't think the devil would be trying to get you to put anything on the blood of Jesus, do you? That's the Holy Spirit of God. Number two thing tonight, here's what we can do. We can't relive what we didn't do. We can put that on the blood of Jesus. But what we can do, we can say, you know what? Beginning tonight, with God being my help and the Holy Spirit being my guide, I am going to be very sensitive that when I think God has given me an opportunity and I prayed about it, maybe I've sought counsel about it, and I think that's what God would have me to do, never again am I ever going to squander an opportunity. Now tonight, in a moment, we're going to have invitation. This morning, John mentioned seven people in the second service. Seven people in the second service came forward and were saved right here at the front. Now, maybe there were others that should have come. I don't know. Those came, we glory. But tonight, perhaps, it's a Sunday night. You're in church. You're a member of the church, maybe this church or another. But the truth of the matter is, you're not 100% sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. Man, that's horrible. That's horrible. It's not necessary. You can change that. You have an opportunity tonight to change that. And I want to encourage you, don't squander this opportunity. You know, life's very fragile. We don't know what's this, tomorrow, the next day, the next week. Others of you tonight may say, you know what? I'm sure I'm not saved. I believe in God. I may belong to a church, but I'm not a bit sure I'm saved. It's not that I doubt I'm saved. I'm not even sure I am saved. Tonight you can be saved. And others tonight, look, maybe tonight God would say to you, it's time for you to put your life in the church. I'm so blessed. I try to call the visitors who turn in these cards. And so many of them, several spoke to me today in the commons between the services. And some will say, I'll say, was this your first time at our church? No, we've been coming over a year, been coming over 2 years. And, you know, I'm glad for that. But I encourage them, well, look, if you've been coming that long, obviously, you're having a worship experience here that's good. You need to come, put your life in the church. Get involved in the opportunities that God has for you. Maybe tonight that would be you. And in a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to come. Maybe tonight, some would say, you know, I just tell you, I have squandered some opportunities. Not that I did bad things necessarily. I just didn't do the things God gave me to do. Maybe you need to come pray with some of us about that. And then tonight, I'm going to do another thing. It may be, it may not. I just feel led in my spirit. I've thought about this afternoon several times. We just have an unusual number in our church family now that are going through some real physical issues. Maybe you, maybe your family. And maybe tonight you just would like to come and pray with someone here at the front about that. Just not have a counseling session, just come and say, hey, I'm going through chemo, or I'm doing this, or I have a friend, or I have a family member. I just want to pray. I think we'll take a moment or two to do that. So we're going to stand. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And, you know, John's here, Dottie's here, Pam's over here. I mean, many folks here can pray with you. Tonight, if you just say, I just feel like on this Sunday night, I need to just have a quick prayer with someone, just if that be, just tell us your need. Just say, I'm going through chemo. That's all we need to hear. Or I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that in a physical area. We want to pray for you. Now, with heads bowed and hearts open to God, tonight, if you need to settle your salvation, just say, Lord Jesus, tonight, I ask you, if I've never, I do, forgive me of my sins, come into my life, make me a Christian. I thank you to Jesus. I've settled this tonight. Others, your prayer be a little different. You might just say, Lord Jesus, tonight it's kind of dawned on me clearly. I need to be saved. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a Christian. I trust you, Jesus, to save me. Maybe tonight it's your baptism. Maybe it's your church membership. Maybe it's a prayer need. Father, bless these moments of invitation. I just feel like we need to give the opportunity. And we'll just let the Holy Spirit guide as He chooses. It's an opportunity. And God, people can respond as they choose to respond. But bless these holy moments is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.